Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now experience the taste and the smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to William Richardson, pastor of the Covert, Hartford, and Pullman Seventh-day Adventist churches. And now, here's Pastor William.
Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for bringing us together one more time to hear your word. Speak to us, Lord. Send your Holy Spirit. Let us lay our burdens at your feet. Remove them from our hearts and fill our hearts with love for you and for each other. And send us forth to share this great mercy, this great love with our family, our friends, and those throughout the world. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you. Amen. I can give my testimony about what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful that my wife is here with me at church today. She had been gone from church for 6 months, taking care of her mother, who could not be left alone. And when we did leave her alone, she wasn't alone. We had someone to take care of her. While we went to camp meeting, my wife needed to rest. She needed to get away. But while we were gone, we had been expecting her mother to go down. We had been told it's a matter of time. And we really wasn't expecting it, you know. I was hoping she would get better. But the time we spent with her was good. We was able to pray together. I like watching my mother-in-law listen to gospel music. We had to take a long time getting her from her bed down the steps. Her bedroom was upstairs and the television was downstairs. And we would have to take each step, one step at a time, coming down the steps. And then get over to the couch. And when she got to the couch and we turned on the gospel music, she would just listen for a couple hours. And she would just wave her hand and just, you know, praise God. And that was a joy to see her enjoying herself. 97 years old, would have been 98 in December. But as we were at camp meeting and on the way, we heard she was going down. So we tried to make it back home before she expired, but we didn't make it. You know, so you never know when you're saying your last words. Tomorrow is not promised. All we have is today. And so let's just look at God's word and receive the blessings that he has for us. Another blessing we had last night, we went to the beach to look at the sunset. You know, we love to see the sun go down and we like to watch it. And yesterday was a beautiful day because there was no clouds in the sky and the sun was just a bright orange, you know. And when we got to the beach, it was above the water line, you know, the whole big sun above the water. And so we're watching it, and we like to watch it till it goes all the way down to the very last. And then even after it goes down, sometimes you can see a glow on the clouds. So we were watching the sun before it even went down anything into the water. It was right there at the edge. And then a distraction came. Some people were walking, a lot of people at the beach, and some people were walking some dogs, and one dog had wheels in the back of it. And that was a strange, it was a little, what do they call those dogs? Dotson, or I call them wiener dogs, little small dogs. His front legs were just moving fast. He was keeping up with everybody, but in the back, he was missing a leg. So they had him up on a platform with wheels. And he was pulling that, I mean, he was on a leash, and he was pulling that platform, and he was moving out. And I said, Joyce, look at that dog. And so when we looked at him, we took our eyes off the sun, and then when we looked back up at the sun, it was gone. I've never seen the sun go down so fast. It just like it disappeared. We didn't see it go down. We didn't see it touch the water very much, and it was a distraction. I mean, it wasn't a bad distraction. I enjoyed seeing that animal there like that. Never seen that before like that. And I said, well, what's the spiritual lesson? Spiritual lesson, we got to stay focused. There are distractions that will come our way, and they're not bad distractions, but we'll take our minds off of Jesus. So we need to keep our minds, by God's grace, on Jesus. Today we want to talk about the walk to Emmaus. And the reason I want to talk about that is I've been taking a course in interpreting the scriptures. And as Seventh-day Adventists, Our position is different from just about every other denomination. We believe that you should let Scripture interpret Scripture. The Bible convicts and convinces us that it's of God, it's true. But the majority of, we're probably the last denomination that really just goes by Scripture. I'm amazed as I read how philosophy from the 18th century and back in Plato times, all these things have come into the religious world, and most denominations do not believe the Bible. It's amazing. It's amazing. But we know we should pray, because even we, the disciples of Christ, they didn't believe what Jesus told them. He had told them he was going to be crucified. He had told them he was going to be spit upon. He was going to be, you know, beat. And he was going to be killed. And then he was going to be resurrected on the third day. But you know what? They didn't believe it. That's amazing. And God has given us prophecy. This is the importance of this study, because God has given us prophecies of what's going to happen during our time. And we see it happening. Food shortages, plagues, hurricanes, tornadoes. All these are signs that something better is coming. And what is that something better that's coming? Jesus. It's time now to ask God to forgive you and remove all sin from you. Can he do it? Can he give you the victory over the devil? Yes, he can forgive you of your sins, and he can give you a new heart. Like, I love how David said, create in me a pure heart, renew the right spirit within me. And did he do it? He did it for David. He'll do it for me and you. So let's look at Luke chapter 24. Jesus has been crucified. From verse 56 of chapter 23 of Luke, it says, they returned, prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. What commandment was that? Fourth commandment, the Sabbath commandment. Remember, the seventh day is the Sabbath. Today is the Sabbath. So they rested. Verse 1 of 24 says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. Remember, they had soldiers standing guard. What was it, 100 soldiers? They had a seal on the tomb, and the priests were making sure that Jesus didn't get out of that grave. But they found the stone rolled away. Who rolled that stone away? An angel rolled the stone away. Don't we have angels in here? When we have stony hearts that can be moved, the angels, the Holy Spirit can impress us. I was looking at the Sabbath school lesson, and those mission stories, I just could not stop looking at the mission story. The mission story was just, I don't know, anybody read the mission story about the man who was 11 years old, and he became possessed by evil spirits. And the lady who was the little boy's mother was told, it's okay. He's been chosen by the spirits to be one of us. And he became a priest. If you haven't read that, read it. Because in the end, God wins. Amen. God touches the heart. God rolls away whatever the devil puts on. But here, the angel has rolled away the stone. Verse 4 says, and it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And these are who? Angels. We have guardian angels. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, now the angels are speaking, why seeketh ye the living among the dead? You know, God teaches by questions. And that's a good way to learn, a question. Why is this happening to me was a question when my life was about to change. Why is all these bad things happening to me? And God answered that question. Maybe God has something great planned for your life, and he does. For all of our lives, he has something great planned for us. So all the bad things that the devil is throwing at us, give them to Jesus. He'll turn good out of it. He's not here. He is risen. Now, this next word is so important. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered unto the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Now, where did Jesus tell them that? Turn back to Luke chapter 18. Told them to remember, you know, with Alzheimer's, that's one of the biggest diseases is on the front right now is Alzheimer's. And I like what Glenda said, the water. We need a lot of more water in the brain. I find if you drink water, that will help you to remember sometimes. So Jesus over in Luke 18, verses 31 to 33, Jesus is talking. He says, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spit upon." You ever had anybody spit on you? Or have you spit on anybody? Ask for forgiveness. "And they shall scourge him, beat him, and shall put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again." So Jesus has told the disciples and others this was what was going to happen. He's going to be crucified, going to be spit upon, going to be beat, and then he's going to be killed, and the third day he's going to rise again. And so now the angels, they're at the tomb asking the women, "Why are you seeking the living among the dead?" And he said, "Remember that he told you this." And it says in verse 8, "And they remembered." Sometimes we just need someone to help us to remember, you know. Have you ever made a vow to God? Remember what you said and ask God to help you. If you haven't kept it, ask for forgiveness and God will help you. Verse 9, "And returned from the sepulchre and told," the women now are telling all these things unto the 11 and all the rest. Were they happy to get the news? Were the disciples happy to get the news that Jesus was risen up from the dead? Verse 11 says, "And their words seemed to them as idle tales." They didn't believe it. Now, Jesus told them it was going to happen. Unbelief is a supernatural thing. You know, Jesus says something. Jesus, who is Jesus? He's God. He spake and this world came into existence. Look up at the sky and see all those billions of stars and billions of planets moving in an orderly fashion around the throne of God. He can do everything. And here he's telling the people what was going to happen. It happened. The angels told the women what happened. Remember that the women go and tell the others, and they don't believe it. "And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not." Why do they not believe it? Why do we not believe what God says? God says, if you confess your sins, I'll forgive you. He says, if whatever you ask the Father in my name, I'll give it to you. I was telling my wife just yesterday, it's amazing that God will give you the desires of your heart. We had a woods kind of on the front yard on both sides, and this one woods looked like a jungle. I mean, one time we got some bushes out there, and I'm cutting a little grass around near the front of the road, and I see a snake, and it slithers into the woods and into the bushes, and this looks like a jungle where there's many snakes. I mean, it's terrible. And my wife was wanting me to trim the grass kind of up among the bushes there, and she wanted to make it more neat. She wanted to kind of decorate it. I just didn't want to do anything with that jungle. But I just noticed now, we started trimming it, and then we cut a tree down so it would give the garden more shade. And we went from one tree to the next tree to the next tree to the next tree. And now it's all cleaned out and gotten grass is planted. She just wanted a little bit, but God has cleaned it all out. And that's the way it is with our hearts. We can come to Jesus with, okay, I got a problem right here. He'll deal with that. Then you come over to the next one. He'll deal with that. Then you come over to the next one. By the time Jesus comes back, he's going to say, here they are. Here are they to keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. He's coming to get his children who trust in Jesus. He gives us the desire of our hearts, and the desire of his heart is that he restore us, that we take advantage of what he has done for us. When he died on the cross, it was to pay the penalty so that we can be forgiven of all sin and be restored back into his image. We got to remember that. That's why he died. That's why he came. That's why we're here on the Sabbath. So that we can remember what he has done. But the disciples, men of God who were walking with Jesus for 3.5 years, they couldn't believe it. It was too great. Jesus is coming back again, and one day we're going to see him. That's something great that's going to happen. Do we believe it? Well, let's see what happened here with Peter. Verse 12 said, then arose Peter and ran into the sepulcher, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come. He still didn't get it. He had walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. This shows you what human nature is like. There were false teachings during those days, and that's what was causing the problem. They were not, even though Jesus had taught them, it was a hard lesson. And Jesus is a great teacher. He repeats, if you fail your test, you're going to go over it again. Over it and over it and over it until you pass your test. That's why we're in school. This earth is the school of Christ, and we are his students. So then, the road to Emmaus. Some of his followers now, it says, verse 13, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And that's about a little bit over 7 miles. A furlong is 1/8 of a mile. A score is 20. So 3 times 20 is 60. And 60 times 1/8 comes to a little over 7 miles. Verse 14, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. You know, anytime we, like today, we're studying God's word, we come together to worship. Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, is right here with us. He's pouring out his spirit. He's pouring out the Holy Spirit. That was the thing about camp meeting. All the programs can be heard on YouTube. Go on the conference website and you can download and listen to these programs because God is getting ready to come. He wants us to have an understanding, and he's a wonderful, patient teacher. And so as these two followers of Christ reasoning together about all that happened, it says Jesus himself drew near and went with them, verse 15. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. He didn't reveal himself at the time. He can do that. He can appear and he can disappear. He can close your eyes so you don't understand what's happening. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. 17. And he said unto them, again, a question. What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as ye walk and are sad? What's going on? When we were coming back from camp meeting, trying to make it home on that Tuesday, the tears were flowing. My wife and I just got the news because they called us while we were driving and told us she had gone. And here I'm crying, trying to drive in the traffic down the highway, and my wife is crying, and she's asking me, are you able to drive? And I wasn't going to pull over. I said, yeah, I can drive, because I sure didn't want her to drive, you know. But God was with us. And he was with them as they're walking and they're sad. And one of them, verse 18, whose name was Cleophas, answering said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And Jesus said unto them, what things? Just like Adam and Eve. When they sinned, did what the devil wanted them to do, Jesus came and said, where are you? He knew where they were, but he wanted them to understand, how did you get yourself into this type of situation? And God wants us to understand, how did we get here today? It's a good thing that we are here, but how did we get here? What have we gone through in our lives to come to the point where we want to read the Bible? We want to know what God has said. God wants us to meditate on that. So we can learn. Verse 19, and they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that had been he which should have redeemed Israel. They thought Israel was going to be the capital of the world, and it would have been if they had not have crucified Christ. There are things probably if we hadn't made mistakes, we'd be in a different position than we are now. But in it all, God is patient and he's loving us and he's teaching us. We trusted that it had been he which had redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day. When was Jesus crucified? What day? Friday, that's the first day. Then he rested on the second day. That was Sabbath. Then on the third day, he had told them he was going to resurrect on the third day. And they said, besides, this is the third day. Since things were done, they should have been happy. But they weren't. They were in unbelief. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels which said he was alive. And certain of them which were with us, Peter, went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Now, what's the problem here? Well, Jesus says unto them, O fools and slow of heart. You're ignorant. You don't have the knowledge. Slow of heart to what? Believe all. How much? Most? A little bit? All that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory? He says here, and beginning at Moses, first book of the Bible, Genesis, Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures things concerning himself. This is how we study the Bible. Get the big picture. From Genesis to Exodus to Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, just keep on going all the way through and you see the big plan of God. Sometimes you can't see the forest for the trees. But if you go up high enough and you get a look, a spiritual look at all that God has said, then you will understand why Jesus had to come to this world, why he had to die on the cross. We'll understand his love, his great love, and his mercy. And so beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scripture. This is how you learn about scripture. This is how you study scripture. You go compare scripture with scripture. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. They still didn't know him, but he wanted to point their mind to the scriptures. Whatever trouble you're going through, point your mind to the scriptures. This is what God wants you to do. He wants you to read the scriptures. He wants us to pray so that we can believe him, because he says, whatever you ask the Father in my name, I'll give it to you. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. You come to God just as you are, believing his word, depending on his word. And even if you don't have enough faith, you know, the one man said, Jesus, I believe, heal my unbelief. Give me enough faith that I need. And so they drew nigh into the village. He still hadn't revealed who he was because he wanted them to concentrate on the scriptures. Like, we don't see Jesus right now. He wants us to concentrate on what he said and how he's helped others. What's the saying? There's no secret what God can do, what he's done for others. He can do for you. Moses, Elijah, Enoch, Noah, all these, Mary, Elizabeth, Ruth, all these men and women are just like us, human beings, sons and daughters of the creator of the universe. We are sons and daughters. This is getting deeper in my understanding over the last few weeks. Who we are, your father is the creator of the entire universe, and you are his son, you're his daughter, you're going to sit with him one day on the throne. Jesus came down and paid the price so that we can be forgiven and be restored back into his image. And we're going to sit with him. This earth is going to be the metropolis, the capital of the entire universe. And we are sons and daughters of God. Each one of us, each person you see on the planet, They are a son and a daughter of God. And he wants us to witness of this greatness. We had someone just this week helping us to grind up the stumps. Trees had been cut down, and there were some stumps in the yard that we needed one of those grinders to grind it down so we can plant grass and mow without tearing it up. And once the guy finished doing the work, I told him, I said, I have something I want to give you. And I went and got a booklet about hope. And I gave him the booklet, and he got excited. Oh, yes, I like this. Oh, yeah, he lives in Pullman. And he said, I live in Pullman, and I like to read. I like to gather material. I said, oh, okay, good, good, because God has a plan for you. And I kind of shared a little testimony with him. Then I said, would you like a Bible study? There's a real good Bible study, Landmark of Prophecy. I told him about that because it was in the book. He said, yes. I said, well, what's your address? Where do you live? You know, you got to be bold. He could have said no, but I asked, where do you live? What's your phone number? And he gave it to me. I said, good, I'm going to get it to you. Now, this is how in everyday life we're meeting people who are going to be either heaven, they're either going to be in heaven or they're going to be in hell. They're going to live forever or they're going to burn up. And God wants us to give them a word so that the Holy Spirit can work with them. So these tracts, we got more of the literature from camp meeting when we brought it. We want you to give it out as you can. Pray about it. Ask God to help you. He will, because he wants souls saved. So Jesus didn't reveal to them who he was, but he explained to them that all that had happened is scripture. Everything that's happened to our lives, same thing. Fulfillment of scripture. When we've done wrong, what has happened? Cause and effect. But not the full effect, because God is merciful. He's having mercy and he's good and he loves us and he wants us to return and receive the fullness that he has for us. So Jesus, finally, he reveals himself at the meal. We were talking about a meal and during Sabbath school. What is it about eating the meal together? There's something about it. When Jesus prayed over the meal, he revealed who he was, and then he vanished. And then they ran back to Jerusalem, the 7-mile journey to get back to Jerusalem. It takes about 2.5 hours, a normal walk, to go back and forth, a 7-mile journey. But they was running and stumbling and walking as fast as they could. I had written down approximately what it would take to walk 7 miles. It may be a little more, a little less. But they get back to Jerusalem. And you know, Jesus appears in the room, the Bible says, and they are afraid, thinking that they have seen, it says, spirit. They thought they had seen a spirit. We would say we thought they had seen a ghost, but we know there's no such thing as a ghost. Let me just say that right here. There's no such thing as a ghost. Little kids, when we were growing up believing in ghosts, that was very scary, you know? But we know now that there are angels, good angels and bad angels, who can appear and disappear. Good angels protect us. But Jesus, when he appeared to them, it says they still didn't believe it. He told them what was going to happen. The angels told the women that it had happened. They were supposed to remember. The women told the disciples they didn't believe. Peter came to the tomb. He didn't know what had happened. Now on the walk to Emmaus, Jesus explained the scriptures. Now he appears to the disciples and they are afraid and they still don't believe it. Unbelief is a terrible thing. God wants us to believe him, believe his word. But finally, Jesus said, what do you have to eat? You got anything to eat? So they gave him a fish and honeycomb, and he ate, and he tells them. Thus it is written, verse 46, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance, what is repentance? Being sorry. And that's the gift. We don't have it. We're born with a sinful nature. So when we do wrong, we come to God as we are. We don't have to wait till we feel sorry, but ask God to give us repentance. It's the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. We ask for repentance and remission. What is that? Forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name among how many nations? All nations. All nations. You know, there's a lot of false doctrine out there, but You must read that scripture. Read it, compare it with scripture. Beginning at Jerusalem is to go to all the world, and ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. We need that power. That promise is for us. The early rain was the power that the disciples received, the Holy Spirit. In church settings now, since Christ has died for us, we are also to receive the early rain. And in these last days, the latter rain, which is going to be a power that's going to come upon those who have accepted Jesus. And we're going to go forth and the people are going to be healed. Some people have tracts and books that they don't read them now, but they may put them aside. But when trouble comes, and trouble is coming on the world, even we got little glimpses of it now, but more trouble is coming. And they will read those pamphlets. They'll read those books. They'll remember the prayers. They'll remember the life that you live. And they'll be saved, those who accept Jesus as their personal Savior. Continue to study. Continue to pray. Continue to witness. God is good. God is good. I was thinking about, as I was writing this sermon, I was thinking about Jonathan. Now, Jonathan, he was faithful in coming to prayer meeting, faithful in coming to church, faithful in coming to Sabbath school, and he had a problem. He wanted a job. I remember a few years ago, he wanted a job. So we start praying for a job. He gets a job at Walmart. He works that job faithfully, but trouble comes. You know, it's cold. They got music there he doesn't want. He wants to do something more. So we praying about that. And so he was going to go to a school in, I believe, Kalamazoo. And I said, no, go to an Adventist school. Go up to Andrews. So we went down to Andrews, and he said, I think I want to be a teacher. So we talked to those who were in charge of that. And then later, he surprised me. He said, I think I want to go into aviation. He said, I talked with my father, and he said, I should go into aviation. And he listened to his father, and he got enrolled into the aviation program. And even while in school, he would still, you know, we had prayer over the phone and everything, and Doug and I and Jonathan, sometimes we missed it, but most of the times we're praying together on Wednesday at 5:00. If any of you want to join in that or have a prayer request, let us know. We're on the conference call. And so God got him into an aviation program, and then he graduated. And if that wasn't enough, he got hired by the school to work. God gave him a job. And what I'm saying is, this is a way to get to know God. Whatever your issue, what it may be, on a job, in the family, whatever, health, it doesn't matter. You have a loving Heavenly Father, and you read the scriptures. Whatever you're dealing with, find a similar situation in the Bible. Believe it. But the main thing that God wants us to know is that one day he's coming back. Just as he came the first time, just as he lived and healed the sick and then died on the cross, and then he said he's going to be resurrected. He was resurrected. And then he said he was coming back the next time. He hasn't come back yet. We're waiting for that right now. So my prayer is, how many of you would say, I want to be ready when Jesus comes? I want to be ready. I want God to help me to get ready. Shall we pray? Father, you see the hands and you see our hearts. Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus to live a perfect life. We all have sin and come short of the glory. But you are a forgiving, you are a prayer hearing God. So forgive us where we've hurt you or hurt others, and come into our hearts right now. Bless each one here under the sound of my voice, here in the church and over the internet, and fill our hearts with love for you. Help us to believe your word. Help us to read your word. And when you return, I pray that each one of us, each one of your sons and daughters here in this room and throughout the world, we'll be ready to meet you in peace, for this is your will, and we thank you for doing it. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to William Richardson, pastor of the Covert, Hartford, and Pullman Seventh-day Adventist churches. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit one of his churches this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You'll find the Hartford Church at 57825 Pinery Road in Hartford, Michigan, and their service begins at 10:50 a.m. Or visit the Pullman Church at 655 52nd Street in Pullman, Michigan, and their service begins at 11 a.m. Or visit the Covert Church at 33081 M140 Highway in Covert, Michigan, and their service begins at 3:30 p.m. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.